Gospel is from the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning with verse 2, but I'm actually going to begin with verse 1. And Jesus left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again and again, as was his custom. He taught them. And Pharisees came up and, in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate." And in the house of the disciples, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. As promised, every week for our new sermon series, On the Road Again, I've changed the song a little bit, and we invite you to join Dan in singing our version of On the Road Again. Right. On the road again with Jesus. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is me, Jesus and his friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I would want to see again. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of beggars, we'll go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keeps turning his way. Yes, his way is on the road again with Jesus. I just can't wait to get on the road again. I find love is meeting Jesus and his friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Yep, we're on the road again with Jesus. And Isaiah says this in his proclamation of the Messiah coming. He says these words in Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." In the time Isaiah was written, actually in the time the whole Bible was written, the only way to hear a message was actually to go to the person speaking the message, right? There was no internet, no like online access to speeches, right? So in order to go to hear a message, you had to go there. And also the one who delivered the message had to walk there to share it. So it makes perfect sense to Isaiah that the feet of the messenger would be beautiful, that the feet of the one who brings good news of salvation would be called beautiful. There was a missionary to India asked by Nikki Gumbel how she could keep doing what she was doing because her work was so difficult. Being among the poorest of the poor, difficult situations, primitive, remote. And she answered this: a missionary has to have hard feet and a soft heart. Hard feet, meaning to go where Jesus calls them to go. Knowing that the journey will not be easy, but knowing it will take perseverance, strength, tenacity, and toughness. Now, she wasn't speaking about actually having hard physical feet. Get it? She's speaking about having a hard, persevering attitude to go where Jesus calls. Because if it's about hard feet, I would certainly fail. A little bit of gravel under my feet, ouch. Don't like it. But the tenacity is what she's talking about. And she says, a missionary also needs to have a soft heart. Being willing to love. A heart that breaks for the pain of the world. Willing to love and reach out to people even though you know that they will hurt and probably reject you. But also knowing that many will believe and encounter the love of Jesus. Then the missionary told Nikki Gumbel, the problem with churches in the West is a lot of Christians are the opposite. They have hard hearts and soft feet. Our opinions of other people get locked in stone. That's a hard heart. And in general, people only want to do what's easy, not hard. Not a lot of tenacity. Easy to give up. Well, today in the gospel, we're on the road again with Jesus, and he addresses the problem of hard-heartedness and soft feet as it relates to marriage. Because the remedy for hard hearts is to make your feet hard hearts is to make your feet hard and your hearts soft. You know, certainly Jesus, although he was never married, he is God and he knows the difficulty and challenges that marriage, being married, can be. It is the most complex of all relationships because that we encounter in human life. And it wouldn't be any surprise that there would be struggles when two people are living together in such close proximity. Jim Nesigan says it this way: when you put two sinners belly to belly, there's got to be trouble. I think that's pretty true. And sinners is what we are. Well, let's look into what Jesus is saying today as he answers this question from the Pharisees. The Pharisees came to him in order to test him. That's important. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Test him. They did this all the time to Jesus, these Pharisees. And they asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Well, that's a loaded question. It sounds like, why would you ask that question? Are you wanting to get rid of your wife? Seems so. Are you wanting to have some kind of pious permission to send her away because you've been playing the field, looking around and saying, I think I could do better? This question gives away their motives. It's from a male perspective, a very chauvinistic male perspective, I would say. And it really shows their hardness of heart. Do we have to put up with this all of our lives, they're thinking? Maybe there's some better alternative and I could just dismiss her and get someone else. There's no concern about the women who have given their lives to be with this man. There's no thought in what would happen to them. So he moves right through their motive by asking a question about their hardness of heart. So he asked them, what did Moses command you? And they said, well, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce to send her away. It doesn't say that a wife could send her husband away, does it? Sometimes that might be nice, but no. It's talking from a very male perspective. And you wonder, where is she supposed to go? As Jesus next talks about, she left her family. That's what we're supposed to do in marriage. You leave your father and your mother and you cleave or you're joined to your husband. So she has nowhere to go. And then Jesus says to them, he wrote, because it was because of your hardness of heart that Moses gave you this commandment. pretty cold-blooded, I would say. They're speculating about the women who've given their whole lives to them. And so he goes back to tell them of the Lord's intention for marriage. It is a soft heart, and it is having hard feet, because it ain't easy at times to be married, but the commitments that we make in marriage are meant to stick. Jesus says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. He goes all the way back to the very beginning intention that we heard from Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. No longer two, but one. For what God has joined together, let man not separate. Now, they are talking about some, I guess I would say, a brokenness in their society, even an evil, that they want to kind of have a way around this law to break up their marriage and move on to somebody else. But he starts with the beginning, because God's plan for marriage is gracious and good. It says he made them male and female, and therefore to leave your father and mother and hold fast or cleave to your wife. Now, this is a sexual image, but it's so much more than only sexual. It's companionship. It's sharing your life together. It's holding hands even as long as you're around. It's the stuff of everyday life. It's a beautiful thing when I see all of you couples coming to church, still affectionate with each other, holding each other's hand. When you see people walking around the fountain or walking in town that love one another, even though their gait is a lot slower than it used to be. Every culture all over the world, we see God's created order in place. Men and women getting married, couples living out their lives in common. That's God's intention. It is such a beautiful thing when those intentions carry on through the whole of your life. We were sitting on a ferry boat during our sabbatical, where we took a ferry from Norway back to Germany. And we were having dinner, and in front of us was a couple, man and a woman, that were just so into each other. I mean, obviously, they loved each other, and they were talking. Of course, we couldn't understand a word they were saying. They're speaking in Norwegian, but they were so intently listening to each other and loving each other, and it seemed like they were having such an exciting, great conversation. Sometimes we see people in restaurants around us that are having dinner together, and what are they doing? They're on their phones, right? Or they're looking at something else, or they're gawking out the window. God wants us to be in relationship, and he gives us marriage to give us the most important and powerful relationship of our lives. When we first got married, we asked our parents, who'd been married 50 or nearly 60 years by that time, how do you stay married? Well, my mom and dad said, as we were having dinner with them, my dad said, well, before you get married, you should have your eyes wide open. You should see this person and all that they are. Look at their family. Look at their mother especially, because they're going to have a lot of attributes of their mother likely. But then after you get married, you should have your eyes half closed, meaning don't look for the faults. Don't just try to look for what's wrong with the person. Look for what's right. And overlook things that probably might bug you. I think that's some pretty good advice. Chris's parents had another word of advice for us, and her dad would say, in marriage, you gotta add, your effort to be married has to add up to 100%. And it isn't always 50-50. It's not one gives half and the other gives half. There'll be times when it's 70-30 or 90-10. Depending what's going on in the relationship, but it always has to add up to 100%. And so that means that we look for not to be served by our spouse, but to serve them and to honor them. That's some famous words from Gary Chapman wrote the book, The Five Languages of Love. You wonder about how we can love our spouse. these are the five things he came up with: encouraging words, saying compliments and saying good things about them. Giving gifts is a love language. Affection or physical touch is a love language. Acts of service is a love language, or spending quality time together is a love language. You see, God wants us to have this plan of life, and it's for good, to leave and cleave, become one flesh, which refers to the sexual union, but it's more. It's companionship, partnership, and family. Couples make babies. Families are made. And the Bible speaks a lot about how children and grandchildren are a blessing. Like from Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Psalm 127, 3 to 5 says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. In the next chapter, it says, Psalm 128, may that you see your children's children, peace be upon Israel. So it's a blessing to have grandchildren. And Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged and the glory of the children of their fathers. So Jesus is affirming in this passage the sacredness and the beauty of married relationships. But he knows, as we do, that we live in a broken world. And not all marriages survive. Some, well, there's divorce and also death. He goes on with this question. In the house, his disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Now, these are Jesus' words. These are maybe a hard thing to accept, especially if you've been divorced. But I think it's really more a statement about brokenness than it is a statement about condemnation. It's not about telling someone how bad they are. It's understanding that the intention of every person, if you counsel a young couple and getting married, they don't say, well, I'm thinking this will last about 5 years. And then I'm going to find something else to do. That's not their intention. Their intention is to be married for life. And that's why the vows that are made in a marriage say, until death do us part. Every divorced person I've spoken to has reflected that actually divorce is worse than death, because in death you can mourn the loss of your loved one, but in divorce, that person is still around. And it's like an open wound every time something happens. But divorce does happen. And Jesus would not in any way say that if there's spousal abuse, you should stay with that person. And sometimes couples just drift apart and they find that they have nothing in common anymore. Or maybe there's betrayal or affairs. All those things can lead to a broken relationship. And although sometimes it just feels like you just got to end it, under normal circumstances, marriage should take hold, and there would be children, and there would be grandchildren. The Pharisees, and that's, remember, who he's answering the question with, have hard hearts. And the remedy for hard hearts is to make your feet hard, meaning to go where it's difficult, to have the hard conversations, to try to listen to one another. And the soft hearts is saying to forgive one another and enjoy the restoration that happens. Jesus then moves from this conversation about marriage and divorce to a beautiful section on children. It's his grace that sustains marriages and family. Whoops, I guess I didn't get that on there. But the children, it says, Jesus brought him children, and the disciples rebuked them and said, when Jesus said he was indignant, and let the children come to me, he says, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus' opponents, the Pharisees, definitely did not have in mind what broken marriages do to kids. It's probably the ones who have nothing to say are hurt the most. But they are hypocrites in their response to having such a hard heart and easily dismissive relationship with their spouse. The reality is that Jesus doesn't want to give any kind of appearance of piety, and if they're looking for loopholes, they're not going to get it with him. But Jesus loves the kids. And I know a lot of kids, maybe some of you are children of a divorced parents. And that's very difficult because I think a lot of kids blame themselves somehow and say, it must have been me. It must have been when I cried too much, or it must have been when I yelled or I demanded my way. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He said that Jesus loves the kids. He loves the parents. He loves the broken ones. He loves those who didn't get their marriage to work. He's not giving loopholes an easy way out, but he is going to give us grace. He's going to deal with this all gracefully to make it manageable, that we can be full of love for one another, and that he gives us the strength, well, really, the hard feet and the soft hearts to move ahead. So let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the remedy for hard hearts, hard feet, and soft hearts. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us deeply. Lord, as we are here worshiping today, I believe everyone's intention and hope is to hear from you. And Lord, in times like this, when we talk about brokenness and divorce and marriage, Lord, we have all failed. We've all fallen short. None of us are so totally awesome at relationships. All of us suffer. So Jesus, as we consider our relationships, those that are positive and strong, and those that are broken and have failed, Lord, give us the grace to accept what is happening or what has happened. Give us the joy to be able to build our life on you, and knowing that it is in our brokenness and pain that you certainly meet us. And Lord, we can again today commit our lives to your plan, your care. Restore the relationships that can be restored, and strengthen marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing Build My Life, this is when we normally would be receiving the offering, but the offering plates are in the back. You can place your offering there as you leave, or you can also give online. Let's join in singing. Oh, I think we all did it together. Oh, that's why. Save Build My Life and that thought for later.
Yes, he died for me.
Please stand and let's affirm our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, today as we heard Jesus teach about marriage and family, Lord, also about brokenness and pain, we pray that you would give your grace to all families, all variety of families, that you would cover them with your love. As we sang at the beginning, that blessed be the tie that binds, Lord, you would unite your people together in Christian love and unity. Lord, where there is discord, where there is brokenness, where there is misunderstanding, we pray, Lord, that you would bring healing, that you would bring wholeness again, that you would restore relationships, mother to daughter or son, father to daughter, son, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, grandchildren, children, husband, wife. Lord, we pray that you would build up the family and help us to be people who encourage marriage and encourage relationships. In Jesus, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our nation. As we see, as we watch the news at all, we see continued division, discord, and politics. We pray, Lord, for solutions that would help the whole of the people. We pray, Lord, that you would help those who are desperate to find this as their home, the refugees pouring over our borders. We pray, Lord, there would be a solution for an equitable way to bring about wholeness and life and a hospitality, but also that there could be laws and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who are recovering from illness, those who are hospitalized, as well as the grieving. We pray today for Stan and Lloyd, Elaine, Judy, Christy, Sydney, Madeline, and John Thompson. Lord, we also name before you in our hearts all those that we know of who need your healing touch, who need your grace, your mercy, and your love. Let us name those before you now in our hearts. Lord, thank you that you know what each person needs as we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, for those grieving the loss of loved ones. We ask that you'd give them comfort and help today, especially those who've lost their spouse as they think about marriages and the void that is in each of those homes because their loved one is no longer here. We pray, Lord, for your grace and your help to cover those. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It was in the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he took bread. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it to them all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Have a seat, please. If you're communing yourselves in your seats, you can do that as the communion servers commune one another, each other. So if you have that self kit, you can peel off the first layer and commune one another. The body of Christ is given for you, Marcia. Of Christ shed for you.
Open up my eyes in wonder and show me.
Please stand if you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you've refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.